And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I mean, I feel like we get punched and, you know, we might have fallen down and just given up. But now this year, you know, we're getting back up and punching back.
This is on now. I don't want to jinx. I don't want to say anything, so I'll keep quiet. But he's playing at a high level.
No, I don't need to. You know, I'm sure a dream of mine is a dream of theirs, too.
You mentioned one shining moment. Have you guys started listening to the song yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
when do you think was the first time?
I think after the SEC tournament, after we come out with the SEC championship.
Anytime you got a top five draft pick, the possibilities are endless.
I talked to Barry Odom all the time. I mean, he should go around speaking around the country just on how his team can. I'm not joking. I'm serious when I say this. He should go around speaking around the country on how his team turned it around. That is an extremely hard thing to do.
Yeah, I think after the first couple games, especially after the West Virginia game, we didn't want to feel that again. And, kind of, you know, felt like last year again, so we wanted to get rid of that as soon as possible.
We don't want it to feel too much like last year. It's this year. It's 2018. Friday on the Closers. Gonna welcome in a friend of mine here who's gonna get in here. Mizzou journalism degree holding, former Fox senior writer and Mercury San Jose News reporter now, Dieter Kurtenbach. How's it going, man?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. You're out in the Bay Area and you're covering everything out there. And people might wonder why on a Friday afternoon would Jay, you know, without George here, why would you track down Dieter for Bay Area stuff? But, man, it's the All-Star game. It's All-Star weekend for the NBA. What's shaking out there? I mean, it's not like there's any Bay Area basketball players involved, right?
No. I mean, the Warriors are just so perennially bad. It's really difficult to get any excitement drummed up about even the team, much less the league. So, I don't know what you're doing, but I'll follow along with it.
All right. But, listen, that, Team LeBron, Team Steph, and you know, the hype that went into the idea of picking teams, even though that wasn't made public to everybody, how that went and everything else. You know, when the All-Star game comes along, even if you're not a fan of the NBA, why is it such a great, like, ambassador for the league to have this weekend in the middle with the three-point contest, the dunk contest, and the All-Star game?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the baseball All-Star game probably a lot as the really the cream of the crop All-Star game. I think it's the first one. And when you have really not a lot else going on, the baseball All-Star game is kind of a cool departure. But basketball right now, the NBA in particular, it's riding a pop culture moment. It's really fun, and this weekend is really just all of that personality that makes the NBA so great right now getting to come to the forefront, front and center, and celebrating all of that fun and personality. And then on the flip side of that, all the strange pettiness and drama. It's one hell of a reality TV show, and for all of the superstars to sort of make that narrative every day, to be in one city and to be in LA, it's exciting, it's fun, and it's a nice departure from sort of the grind of an 82-game season, which probably should only be about 50 games.
Now, that grind you talk about, you're out there in the Bay Area, you're covering the Warriors a lot, obviously, with all their success. They could use this All-Star break. The first time in a couple seasons that maybe they could kind of take a little breather. They've played a lot of extra basketball with postseason play and played at a high level. They've backslid a little into this All-Star weekend.
Yeah, no question. For the first time in a long time, they're not the number one seed in the Western Conference. So Houston Rockets have the best record in the NBA, and it's not a talent issue. I can tell you that first and foremost. It's just an apathy issue. The Warriors don't show up to play every night. And 9 times out of 10, they get away with it because they're just so damn talented. They can beat all but a couple of teams in the NBA with sort of half-assed effort. But they got burned on it coming into the break. They've not been playing their best basketball, and yeah, they can absolutely use a 6-day break. Now, four of the guys are going to have to show up in L.A. And do all of those festivities, but just getting away from the day-to-day, getting away from constantly having to take every team's best shot and having to do that cumulatively over the last 3 years, it takes a toll on you. So getting away from that, even just for a couple of days, I imagine is going to be huge. And now when they come back, they'll have something to play for the first time in a long time. Their playoffs will actually start a little bit early. And I guess maybe that's what they were setting themselves up to do. Maybe they expected it, maybe not, but that's the reality of the moment.
Now, Steve Kerr, you know, as he looks at this roster and prepares it to, you know, again, the break, but then also prepares to hit this second, you know, half of the season at a number two seed at the moment, is there something he can do? I mean, when you know, the idea of, you know, millionaire coaches and multimillionaire players and everything else, can he get their attention or does he just have to, you know, see if they snap out of it to make this happen?
Well, I mean, the biggest issue for the Warriors is the fact that they just aren't trying on defense. And there's no magic elixir to make a team fear the rest of the league. And that's kind of where Golden State is right now. They came into the year, and they knew that they would win the title if they stayed healthy, didn't do anything too rash, and then, you know, got their stuff together for the postseason. And there wasn't a team in the NBA that couldn't beat in four or five games. And that remains true. They're going to perhaps be the greatest offensive team in the history of the sport. They're putting up like 120 a game. They can score at will. The question is, do they want to engage on defense? And if they engage on defense, they'll blow anybody out. Maybe Houston, maybe Boston, maybe Oklahoma City can keep it close. But none of those teams can beat an engaged Golden State Warriors team in a seven-game series, period. And so that's just the reality that the Warriors are operating in. And Steve Kerr knows. I mean, this team won 73 games a couple of years back, but then lost in the finals. They're jaded from that experience. They felt like one of the reasons they lost in the finals to the Cavaliers was because they went too hard in the regular season, and they didn't have enough in the tank. And that Steph Curry got injured, that maybe that injury happened because he was working too hard to get 73 wins. And they're just not going to risk that again. They really want the one seed. That's something they've said all year that they want. We'll see how bad they want it. I think it would be in their best interest to have it. And they're only a half game back, so it's not like it's a serious thing. But, yeah, I mean, it just comes down to, do the Warriors want it or not? There's no team in the NBA that can beat the Warriors, but the Warriors can definitely beat themselves.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, this break is good for them at a good time. And, you know, probably makes a little dent in your writing schedule as you've got to figure out stuff to cover for the next few days. But, you know, with all the theatrics that goes along with it, you know, the rising stars, the dunk contest, the 3-point contest, it's great for people who aren't hardcore NBA fans to get a little more depth to their fanhood. You got any dark horse picks for any of those? I mean, obviously people will know one or two of the names, but, you know, anything going on there for dark horses?
I'll tell you what, I'll be totally honest with you right now, Jay. I don't know who's competing in any of those things.
Perfect.
I try to avoid the All-Star game because I'm part of the grind. And so I'm pretty sure Klay Thompson's in the 3-point contest. He's not a dark horse. Do you have the guys who are in the dunk contest up and at him? Because I see a lot of these guys dunking pregame stuff.
Right. Smith Jr. From Dallas. Nance Jr. Apparently you have to be a junior.
Right.
And the Jazz rookie, Donovan Mitchell. And one other guy that I don't have up right at my fingertips.
Don't bet against Dennis Smith Jr.
Right.
Dennis Smith Jr. is like a really good in-game dunker, but he dunks with like an anger. Donovan Mitchell probably has the best hops in that group. I wouldn't bet on Nance just because he's too big. Like, he's nice frame. He can really get up. Yeah, I don't know if anyone in your audience remembers him at Wyoming, but, like, he put Wyoming basketball on the mat because he'd be on SportsCenter almost every night with just an awesome dunk. Mitchell is probably going to win between those three. But, man, Dennis Jr., if you, like, put, like, you get Kevin Durant, if you get somebody out there, if you get LeBron James, and just have him stand on the court and allow him to get dunked on, Dennis Smith's going to throw down something vicious. His goal is to dunk on every dude in the NBA. He does not care. And it looks awesome because he's not that tall.
Nice. Well, okay, there you go. There you have it. So, well, that's cool, Dieter. I'm glad that, you know, like I said, that as a former Mizzou guy, you know, you're on the West Coast, and yeah. The last 3 years for Mizzou have not been great, really necessarily football or basketball, been a little down, you know, but this past year, have you noticed a few more pings on the radar that yourself being a little more motivated to check in and keep up?
Yeah, no question. I love what Kwonzo's doing with this team this year. I mean, it just, if nothing else, I feel like they're running a modern system for the first time in forever, and getting to watch the Warriors every night and so many teams coming in emulating the Warriors and doing a really good job in that style of play in the NBA. I've really come to enjoy that style. And just to see, you know, Mizzou actually try to execute a style like that has been fantastic. I'm just fascinated to see how this team does. You know, if we get Porter back, that would be awesome. I feel like they're starting to get a groove anyway. I'm fascinated to see what happens in this SEC tournament. I know a lot of people, I think, have already kind of moved them into, oh, they're going to make the tournament category. I don't want to take that chance for anything. I'm been a Mizzou fan for too long to know that those things don't necessarily work out. You can't take anything for granted as a Tiger. And, I'm really hoping that they make it. I don't know where the regionals are or anything this year, but I might have to make a trip out to see them. If nothing else, it's something you can be proud of for the first time in a while.
Well, we know that the NCAA committee recently, even in the Olympic sports, have been really, really fond of making sure that Mizzou and KU are in the same pod,
right.
If not in the first round, but in the same pod, so that their paths will cross if fortune allows. I mean, is this a thing? I mean, can they really be as transparent as, okay, like, you know, KU falls to a three,
right.
Mizzou gets to that six seed or something. I mean, are they really so transparent and petty as to just go ahead and roll that dice out there?
I sure hope so, because I would love to see Bill Self just have a total brain aneurysm as he tries to justify again why these two teams can't play every year in Kansas City. We're not asking for a home and home. We're not asking for a 2-1. Just play every year at the Sprint Center in Kansas City, and you know, you think that you got this great program, you're totally fine. Put your money where your mouth is, Bill Self, and stop pretending like you're the victim all of a sudden. It would mean nothing more to me than to have a meaningful game with Bill Self and Kwonzo Martin and the Tigers hand it to the Jayhawks in the NCAA tournament. I'd be over the moon.
Yeah, for sure. And we will, I mean, George and I are trying to start the movement. You know, we want to make sure that Bill Self is you know, morally, you know, not being hypocritical. So we figure if that happens, maybe he would just forfeit, because the game doesn't matter. And so I think just to take the moral high ground, he should definitely just pull his team out of the tournament and just forfeit that game.
Right. This is the thing. If they actually do play in the NCAA tournament, that pretty much wipes out any chance that these two teams are going to play a regular season game. And you know what? It might be worth it. It might be worth it to just go all in on this rivalry and just say, this is for everything. This is the last time it's going to happen. We better win. And hopefully Porter's back for that, because I'm not sure if the two's got the firepower to make that happen right now. But,
Now, it'd be great to wipe that smug look off of Bill Self's face.
Very much so, and pull the toupee off in the process. Dieter Kurtenbach, San Jose Mercury News, and former Mizzou, always a Mizzou Tiger, but former Mizzou J-School grad, and pleasure to have you on. Thank you for coming on a Friday afternoon. I'll let you get back to your regularly scheduled Friday afternoon of not having the Warriors beat for a couple days.
Thank God. Okay. Well, we'll talk soon,
Jay. All right, Dieter. Talk to you later, and we'll be right back for more of Hour 1. Actually get Hour 1 started more properly right after this.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Fishing Hole Friday on the Closers, News Talk 1400 KFRU and 1240 KLIK down in Jeff City. Big thanks to Dieter Kurtenbach and joining us from the West Coast to talk a little bit of NBA. Had to jam him in there right at the beginning. It was his only availability during the show today. So thanks for bearing with us and taking a little stroll, something bigger than regional, something that we don't just a little national spotlight there. So welcome into the closers. George Young is still on assignment. I'm Jay Sparks. I am here for you, and I'll be here all afternoon. 442-8255. Feel free to give me a ring. You guys, school was out today, so if you got the kiddos and you're running around, running errands, family-friendly show here on Fish and Hole Friday. So we'll happily take calls and discuss anything from the sporting world or other stuff. If you maybe got out and saw, I don't know, a fun particular movie of sorts last night. I don't know, maybe that could be a thing that we talk about as well. So I know that was a big big point of contention, people getting out and seeing Black Panther last night. In sporting world last night, we've got Mizzou women. We're going to talk with Ann Rogers in hour number two at 5:25 from the Missourian and PowerMizzou.com. She was covering that game for us. Or, well, not for us, but she was covering that game and will talk with us about it. So Mizzou women go to Auburn last night and come away with the 8-point victory, 59-51. Jordan Frericks goes for 19-8. Sophie Cunningham, 12-3. Amber Smith, 7-10. Sierra Porter, 7-7. Lauren Aldridge, 5-5, 4 assists. Whew. Boy, starters getting it done. It was not a bench game. That was a starters getting it done type game. So, you know, I mentioned earlier in the week, the previous game, the Arkansas game, I wanted to see a big game against for my X factor was the bench, and I got it. But boy, last night starters were getting it done. And you know, this was a game unlike the Arkansas game. The Arkansas game, they got out big and then they didn't lose a quarter the rest of the way. Here they got out big first quarter, 19-7, and then barely won the second quarter, lost the third quarter, barely won the fourth quarter. So the margins got a little thinner, and that third quarter was no bueno. So we'll talk more Ann Rogers in the second hour about that. The men and women of Columbia College, fifth ranked and third ranked, I believe, they went down to Arkansas Lyon College. Both came away with victories down there. So the women won 78-73. That's the most points they've given up. Boy, I'm scrolling back since January 4th to Lyon College. 76 points that they gave up in Columbia. So that was then 73 and a loss to Freed Hardeman, the number one team in the nation earlier in the season at Freed Hardeman's court, 73 points. So that defense that Taylor Posehl has installed over there has done its job, but they outscore and outlast Lyon last night, 78-73. The men, 73-68. They make it over. So the doubleheader win there for both top 10 teams. And I believe I saw earlier today the ninth consecutive season, both men's and women's basketball at Columbia College have 20-plus victories. So congratulations, Bob Burchard over there and Taylor Posehl as they get through and put those seasons together. They are Central Baptist College back down to Arkansas, getting a lot of scenic time in Arkansas as they play Central Baptist AMC game on Saturday, doubleheader. Women's basketball for Mizzou, as we were talking about. They, guys, seriously, this is a big deal. We talk a lot about getting out and supporting these teams, making sure that you guys are out there in person as often as you can be. This is a big deal. Tennessee is ranked. Sunday game at 1 p.m. It's on ESPNU, but get out there and support this team. It is important that you guys get out there and support this women's team and really make sure that you guys can get out there and be heard. They need people in the stands. They need the home court for this. it is important for Mizzou fans to get out. So it's this is the big deal. This is where we want to be as a program that's growing, a ranked program. So Sophie Cunningham, Cassius Robertson, both reigning SEC Players of the Week, both wearing number 3. Right now, the most talented jersey number has to be number 3. Might have to do a little digging and pull up some other number 3s, some current number 3s on other rosters at Mizzou. But just Sophie Cunningham, Cassius Robertson, and Drew Locke combined, right? I mean, it's got to be. So just looking around the league tonight, we will get you set up as this show goes along. We will get you set up for the recap of Mizzou Auburn Women's. We will get you set up for Mizzou LSU tomorrow. George has sent in his trifecta and his game picks. I haven't looked at them yet. I see I have my little notification that he sent them in, but I haven't looked at them yet. I'm going to, it's like Oscars, right? I'm going to open the envelope in the second hour, at the end of the second hour, so we can have it for you. But we will go through our trifecta picks and our game picks for the LSU game. And then we will get you ready for the Tennessee game on Sunday, which, again, get out there. Seriously, that is a huge, huge game. So need all of that to go through. And this is a fun time of year. Basketball is starting to wind down, this Mizzou team. And, you know, listen, we had media availability today. I will get you the sound. We had media availability, and this men's team, they have really, I talked about this yesterday, they've done a really great job this year. They've grown so much, a lot of new faces, a lot of guys, holdover guys, who have found roles that they embraced and have grown into. They've done a lot of things right. So we had media today, and we had Cassius Robertson first. They asked him about his player of the week, and this is what he had to say.
I think it's really huge part of the team. I think I got to thank the team for all their accomplishments, because I wouldn't have got those without us winning. So, it says something about the team and us winning and being on this little win streak. And, they've been able to, help me play as well as I'm playing. So,
giving it all to the team. Kind of like that, right? Speaking of number threes, did he know that he and Sophie were both reigning SEC Player of the Weeks?
We congratulated each other. But I didn't realize that we both got it until I seen it on the Instagram account. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Though you think maybe somebody could have, somebody there in that building, that big shiny building that they all hang out in, could have told him maybe instead of finding out via Instagram. They asked him about, you had Michael Porter, right? That's a thing. We're going to get to this. I'm working my way there. I'm burying the lead, as it were. But they asked him about Michael Porter coming back, and, how does that work on a team like this that seems so chemistry-based?
Anytime you got a top-5 draft pick, the possibilities are endless. So, I mean, I can't exactly tell you exactly how, but with a talent like that is like I said, the ways for him to help us are endless.
Agreed. The ways he can help are endless. What about being, about telling the guys, and this was a little bit of an odd question, but I liked Cassius's response. And I left the question on this one because of the way it was phrased. I wanted to make sure it was phrased. I wasn't trying to paraphrase. So we'll get the question and the answer to whether Cassius needs to tell the guys how important it is.
Tournament for you in your last, year of college ball. Have you expressed that to your teammates on what that would mean to you, or are they more just
I don't need to. I'm sure a dream of mine is a dream of theirs, too. Not many of them have been to.
Yeah, I don't need to. I don't need to tell them. They know. right? Jordan Geist was out also, made available to us. And, you know, a lot of the questions for Jordan Geist were about last year and comparing it to this year.
People just don't give up, you know. Yeah. It gets tough, and, you know, teams make runs, but we, you know, we try to punch back.
I feel like last year maybe that wasn't the case?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we get punched and, you know, we might have fallen down and just given up. But now this year, you know, we're getting back up and punching back.
To any refs that are listening, that's metaphorical. Jordan Geist not talking about punching back right now. That's a metaphorical thing, getting up off the mat and punching again, refs, if you're listening. Please, don't. I feel like they're just going to start by calling a technical in LSU for that. But, you know, and you know, again, more people questioning about last year and this year, a calendar year later, where are the differences?
Yeah, I think after the first couple games, especially after the West Virginia game, we didn't want to feel that again. And kind of, you know, felt like last year again. So we wanted to get rid of that as soon as possible.
And then this was probably the best exchange of the day, probably. But a little one shining moment as this team kind of sort of is realizing that the NCAA tournament is out there on the horizon.
You mentioned one shining moment. Have you guys started listening to the song yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
when do you think was the first time?
I think after the SEC tournament, after we come out with the SEC championship.
Oh my. We talk a little one shining moment and we get the SEC championship trophy, tournament trophy. Ooh, Jordan Geist, a little fiery today. But all right, I've buried the lead long enough. I'm here. Somebody had to ask the question. We asked it and we got the response.
Updates for us on any doctor's appointments that may have occurred with your players in the last day?
I thought you was talking about me. No. So actually, it's next Thursday. So that way we don't have any more conversation about it until next Thursday. Now, there are appointments that are here in town, mm-hmm. but there's one that's next Thursday, the one that you guys are probably talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Just to clarify, that's the meeting with his doctor from Dallas next Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. And you won't have an idea of if he'll return to practice until after that meeting?
We'll know more after that meeting, yes.
So there it is. I made it till 4:38. I made it this far, burying the lead. There it is. Next Thursday, Michael Porter Jr. will be in Dallas. We'll meet with his doctor in Dallas, and that will be the all clear possibility for Michael Porter Jr., which delays the timetable more so than we were sort of kind of led on to believe, both by Konzo, his radio appearance in St. Louis earlier in the week, and some of the things that Michael Porter Jr. was able to say earlier in the week, slightly delays that timetable a little bit. I don't know how that affects. I don't know how that affects the season as it plays out in regards to Michael Porter Jr. It definitely takes. Obviously, LSU is out. Pretty much takes Ole Miss out of the equation if he's going to be in Dallas on next Thursday. And then it puts the onus on, is he going to play? Is he going to turn around after a Thursday all clear for a game against Kentucky 48 hours later? I don't know. Pretty clear though about we're no more discussions about it. That's the timetable, and that's when we'll know. So I guess that's when we'll know, Tiger fans. So it's definitely a different delay. It's definitely a different time schedule than we were led on to believe earlier in the week. So we do not know why the change. And that was not asked, and nor would an answer probably have been forthcoming. Next Thursday, folks, circle it on your calendar. 6 days away. Trip to Dallas. Trip to the doctor's office. Maybe an apple a day until then, right? To get the all clear. Michael Porter Jr. saga continues, and will continue with hour number two right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Perusing around the Twitter sphere, trying to catch up on some things, and Mizzou basketball on their way to Baton Rouge. So we will check in on them. Obviously, more to come on that. I was trying to find. I know that Mizzou softball is playing right now. They were up 8-3. Now, bottom five, Tigers lead 9-5 against USF. So out in Florida, in Clearwater, Florida, they are leading bottom of the fifth, solo home run for USF, and it's their second home run. Cuts the lead from 9-4 to 9-5. They've scored in every inning so far. Whew. All right. So the new Eli Daniel pitcher. Gonna be your starter for most of your big games this year, and that is, be aware, if you're speaking around the water cooler, if you're talking to friends anywhere else, that is Daniel, not Daniels. Chase Daniel, remember that guy? Yeah, we got all in a tizzy whenever it was Chase Daniels. Yeah, Chase Daniel. Now Eli Daniel going to be your starting pitcher for majority of the season, I think, this year for Mizzou softball. So Mizzou tennis also going right now, and I know they have started off great this season, 8-1 so far on the season. Pretty much everything, lots of things coming up roses over there. Not to mention, obviously, men's and women's basketball. So. Big stuff going on, and you know, you look around the sports landscape for tonight. Also, you can't look past the St. Louis Blues, 7:30 drop of the puck. Dallas Stars, American Airlines Arena down in Dallas. They will be down there for a big match, and they made a trade earlier this week. I don't know that I was able to get to it or if it happened on a day. They activated Zach Sanford off IR, and they sent him down to San Antonio to conditioning. And then from the Maple Leafs, they acquired Nikita Soshnikov, and a right winger. So he, my Blues sources have told me he's going to be one of those pests. He's going to be a fourth line, third, fourth line guy to get out there and really open it up for other guys. So, you know, depth signing right there as they trade a draft pick for, to get that. And, yep. St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporting that he'll go another option in the third line. So, yep. Good stuff there, boy. Still a lot of rumors floating around for the Blues. Are they going to do anything else? 442-8255, Blues fans. What are we doing? What's going on over there? I've got a really solid set of Blues fans that I take care of down at my secondary position, and I'm enjoying the ice floor foot knives immensely this year. The ice floor foot knives is really getting me. So I don't know. We'll see. Patrick Maroon, is that a thing that should happen? Is he enough that you know? Is he a second line guy? Is he gonna fit into that second line and provide an extra scoring punch for this team, or is this just Tarasenko needs to figure out what's going on? I Tarasenko has been quite. I mean, I hate to say almost a disappointment this year. I'm not going to jump the gun and get all Stephen A. Skip Bayless about local sports, but goodness sakes, Blues fans, Tarasenko, where is he? What is he? What's he doing? Why? Why is he playing with my heartstrings like this? So, all right, Blues, Cardinals, we had Larry Borowski on yesterday, pitchers and catchers, and Larry's selling, he's buying, I guess I should say, selling high. He's buying on Cardinals pitchers. Likes where it's at. Likes the idea that this rotation comes together without another free agent signing. Cashner goes. Vargas goes. Orioles, Mets. Is that enough? Is it blue? I mean, the Cardinals have enough. Make it worthwhile in the Central. Make it worth pushing to the top of the Central again. I don't know. Going to wrap up hour number one in just a minute and get ready for Ann Rogers in hour number two, Columbia, Missourian and Power Mizzou. Get her on to get us pumped for the Tennessee game on Sunday for the women and take a look back at this Auburn game. And not a full escape from Auburn, but could have been a little better. Could have been a little better performance. So, all right, Mizzou, we'll be back right after this.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU. It's The Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Enjoying a Friday afternoon here on The Closers. Jay Sparks in the seat. George Young off on assignment down in Dallas, swimming and diving, and getting you ready for everything going on this weekend, everything you need to know. NBA All-Star break opened the show with Dieter Kurtenbach from the Mercury San Jose News, Mizzou J School alum, and he's out there after being a Fox senior writer, covers a lot of the Bay Area and the Warriors, so I figured that'd be a good segue into talking a little bit of All-Star break, as that's not something we normally get into very much, but it's always a fun weekend. I'm a basketball guy. Probably prefer college a little bit to the pros, but the All-Star weekend is always a little fun. So everything gets started tonight. The All-Star celebrity game. The only thing I've seen, literally the only thing that is in my brain about the All-Star celebrity game, I believe one of the Property Brothers is playing. That's literally all I know. That's the best preview I can give you right now. The one of the Property Brothers from HGTV is playing in this game, and I really honestly couldn't. There will be celebrity coaches. Oh wait, no, I also saw Bieber, Justin Bieber, and one of the Property Brothers. That's it. Maybe it's just one on one. That's it. I don't know. That's how that works apparently. Oh, nope, look at me go. They're on the same team. Drew Scott and Justin Bieber on Team Lakers with Sterling Brim, Nick Cannon, Terrence Crawford, Rachel D'Amita, Jerry Ferrara, Mark Lazary, Tracy McGrady, Caleb McLaughlin, Candace Parker, Nate Robinson, Drew Scott, and Chris Wu. So they're all there playing another team of the same level of celebrity names. Paul Pierce playing Bubba Watson, two-time Masters champion Bubba Watson is going to play basketball for you tonight, just for you. So if you're a golf fan, see, everybody tune in, the celebrity game. That's on ESPN at 7, and Mountain Dew Rising Stars game for second-year players, first-year players, that kind of stuff. That's all going on. That's at 9 p.m. Got to switch over to TNT for the coverage of that. 8 p.m. tomorrow. Just kidding. 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. tonight, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, the State Farm All-Star Saturday night. You've got the Skills Challenge, the three-point contest, and the Slam Dunk. Slam Dunk is back. Dieter said, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., don't bet against him, so don't bet against him. But that's happening starting at 7 with the Skills Challenge and on through as that goes. But and then the game itself, 7 p.m. Sunday night. So lots of stuff going on, and the NBA is a fun thing to kind of tourist through. You don't have to follow it for all 82 games. Get into it for a little bit at the All-Star break, enjoy the theatrics and the pettiness, and then get out and get back in for the playoffs. Hour number one wrapping up, hour number two right after this.